money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
Well, you're starting the year off by making fun of me, so I don't
Whoa. That is absolutely not true. We were celebrating your participation in the technical part of the show today.
Yes, because I can clap. For all of you who need to know, I clap, or Dave claps before the show, so the sound and the video are synced. Mm-hmm. And I don't clap very well. So today I did, starting off the new year, 2025. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. What I hope you've enjoyed a little bit of maybe some R&R, maybe some extra family, and you made it. You made it through 2024, and here we are at the brink or the
here. Cheers,
the pivot. Cheers,
cheers, okay, cheers. We'll do a cheers. There you go. 2025.
Welcome to 2025, and we're so glad
we just clinked our water glasses. Yes. If you're not watching, okay. So 2025, new year. We are not. I'm just telling you right off the bat. We're not telling you to be intentional. We're not telling you to have a. What do they call the New Year's resolutions? I've never really loved those. You can go back and listen to the shows where we talked about not doing resolutions, but making little baby commitments, maybe. Anyway, you can listen to those shows because they're on Spotify and all kinds of other streaming platforms. And we want to thank again, as we head to the new year, notmind.ca and Financial Discipleship Canada.
How about I take over from there as Reb finds her,
my voice.
Her voice? But yeah, reaching out and really just we maybe expanding that, notmind.ca and Financial Discipleship are sponsoring today's show, but we couldn't have come this far through 2024 without all the partners that we had, certainly in the show here, but also those of you who have encouraged us along the way, those of you who have reached out, those of you who had made comments, and we've talked as we've touched base over the last year, and you just can't imagine how much that encourages Reb and I.
Yeah, because there was a lady who listened and said Simon and Garfunkel didn't do the song
and corrected us along the way.
it was Turn was the Birds.
It was the Birds.
Anyway, so we had a good conversation.
Maybe
about
I should
that.
Do the confession because you know if you were heard the show about cars a few weeks back, you know I have to correct that. The Honda Accord is like the seventh most popular car sold in history.
We're starting the year. We talked about last week about having some repentance, maybe turning
a little bit of confession
and repentance. So this is how we're starting today. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. And you know where to find all the podcasts. I want to read Jeremiah 29. I don't know how you find yourself at the beginning of this year, but one of the things we want to share with you, some of the words that we have that God's encouraging us with at More Than Enough for 2025. We want to talk about a little bit about encouraging you to think about what are you entrusting to God this year that's actually maybe too big for you to carry out of 2024. What are you preparing yourself for? And specifically financially, how are you thinking about your money? How are you preparing? But we're going to talk about that in a minute. But sometimes, I don't know, I found myself in a place where I'm just tired. I can get overwhelmed and I don't know what to pray.
Right.
And so praying scripture is a really beautiful thing to do. Praying scripture over your finances, even. Not the bless me, bless me, bless me, maybe prayers. Although that, you know, we want ease and comfort. So we're always looking for those kinds of prayers. And I don't mean that. But in Jeremiah 29, I've been really drawn to this passage of scripture before those verses where Jesus says to us in
verse 11,
where he says, I know that my thoughts towards you plan to prosper you, give you hope and a future, give you peace, all of those good things. Before those verses, the word of the Lord comes through the through the prophet. And it says this, thus says the Lord in verse 4, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that you may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. And the passage goes on and you can keep reading, but I was thinking about verse 7. And if you don't know what to pray in this season, when there's so much happening, when the U.S. is getting a new president, and of course we don't have to say anything about that because everybody knows and has their own thoughts about that. When the global...
Well, Reb, you're not going to jump into
political conversation. So, you know, when we have that, when we see wars and rumors of wars, when we hear about famines, when we see food banks, just the increase in Canada of so much need for families to have basic necessities. And then we go, well, how do we do this? We talked about grief and lamenting last week. You know, how do we pray? And I love verse 7. It says, seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for in its peace, you will have peace. Those words, pray to the Lord for it. And that word peace, as I've come to understand, is shalom. And that word is a wholeness, a completeness. It's prosperity and wellness. It's the goodness of a city. It's the goodness of a place, so that we too, then, when we pray for it, so that we will also have that wholeness and completeness and be able to take part in it. And I just find it interesting, these verses, you know, God's like, build houses, do your daily living, get married, have children, and pray and seek that wellness and wholeness. And we are literally the hands and feet of that wholeness and wellness, but we also pray for it. So if you're feeling discouraged at the beginning of the year, or you're feeling refreshed, whichever way you're coming, you can take these verses and say, Lord, I want to seek the peace of the place I'm living, in my neighborhood, on my street, even in my home and in my family. Lord, I just pray for shalom for this place. And I think that's an important, simple prayer to pray, that God directed his people to pray when they were in captivity and struggling and probably wondering, where are you, God, in all of this? And that's just a verse to encourage us for 2025, that we can pray this. We can pray this over more than enough, and the clients we serve, and the business that you might be a part of, or the ministries or the church work you do, any of it. Look, we can pray, Lord, we want to seek the peace of our city, of our neighborhoods that you've caused us to dwell in. And we pray, Lord, for that shalom, that wholeness and completeness, because then what we learned during the Christmas season, that he is Prince of Shalom. He's Prince of Peace. He is Prince of completeness and wholeness. And he is the only one who could bring us that completeness. We can't do it ourselves. He is the only one. And so when we pray for the peace, we're praying for the Prince of Peace to come and bring that redemption and wholeness and completeness as only he can. And that's just really encouraging and full of, I don't know, hope, I guess, you know, that he has already done it, but he is doing it still, bringing us this peace.
What I find, you know, having read this, and specifically verse 5 and 6, now, of course, I'm reading it in a little different translation, but it says, build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, eat the food they produce, marry, have children, then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, don't dwindle away. And then, you know, hearing that, remember, we're talking about them being exiled. They are in captivity, right? And so, you know, the encouragement from the Lord through Jeremiah is like, don't try to escape. And maybe that's a word for you this year is, you know, you look at your life and you're like, all I want to do is escape. All I want to do is get somewhere else. And if you're feeling that, then come back to this chapter and maybe ask the Lord, like, is this a place where you planted? Like, this comment is generational. I don't know if you caught that, but Jeremiah is saying, listen, guys, you are going to be here for a while. So Mary, do the things that you would normally do. And oh, by the way, and these, the words of Jesus echo in my mind, pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who come after you. You know, if you are a slave, honor your master and do good work. I mean, this is the New Testament in a sense. The New Testament echoes these words, but these are directly for obviously Jeremiah and the Israelites. And so I just was, as I was reading it, I had those words going in the back of my mind as to, wow, we might not like where we are here at the beginning of the year, but the Israelites didn't like where they were. And the word of the Lord for them in that season was, hey guys, the Lord is still here. He's still on his throne, and he's telling the Israelites to actually prosper, to actually, you know, multiply, do not dwindle away. That's what really jumped out at me is in this season, don't try and escape, but multiply, do the work.
Well, it makes me think of, I don't know, what was that movie? Was it Rocky? Or something about fading away. I don't want to fade away. I don't know.
Different movie.
I don't know.
It's better to burn out than fade away.
Yeah, I don't know who said that. Yeah. Okay, you've heard it here. Dave's favorite cry. It's better to burn out than fade away. I don't know if we should really tell people to just burn themselves out, but that's not what we're saying. But that reminded me of it. Like, don't shrink back from your calling and destiny in the place where you think it's so hard. You think, like, I have to tell myself, don't shrink back. You know, there have been some hard losses in 2024 for us different things that you're walking through. And isn't it easier just to curl up and crawl in your bed and just like cover the sheets and say, tell me when Jesus returns and I'll come out. You know, I mean, I kind of laugh at it, but some of us are going through these hard things and it not to dwindle, not to shrink back from the challenge. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need this community. And one of the words that we go into 2025 with at More Than Enough, and we want it, you'll hear it throughout the year for 2025, I believe, Lord willing, as we are able to be on this radio show, is three things: simplicity. I think we start with simplicity, clarity, and consistency. And there's a side word, like we say, like a sidebar in the writing of it, is be strategic in your yeses and your noes. Be strategic in what you
say. The mechanism, right?
Yes. So we're talking about keep it clear, keep it simple, and be consistent. Mm-hmm. Clarity, simplicity, consistency. And I think the Lord is encouraging us with these words for you and I specifically, but how do we keep our life, our time, our calendar, our finances clear, simple, and consistent? Clear, simple, consistent.
Mm-hmm. And that's even the verses that we just read from Jeremiah. You know, they're in an incredibly difficult situation. They're not where they wanted to be. You know, their Jerusalem is in shambles. They've been taken away to Babylon. They're in captivity. They're not where they want to be. And, you know, the word to them is, hey, just do the simple things and do them again and again and again. Like, plant your seeds, grow your food, eat that. Like, do the things that you know to do. And I think that's part of that, part of what we want to encourage here at the beginning of the year is, you know, we know that, especially in the area of finances, the more complicated and confused your finances are, the more difficult it is to manage it. And so moving your finances and making a commitment to say, well, if we're going to make it simple, we actually have to work at it. We actually have to untangle. And as we were talking about this, Reb, of course, if you know, she knits.
I do knit.
And my role in Reb's knitting is to untangle the balls before she gets there, right? Like, it's like, hey,
especially if I've got impatient and I haven't unrolled them properly.
So here's the mental picture for you. You know, it's like in the evening, the campfire, the fire's going, the fireplace, Reb is knitting, and there's Dave frantically trying to untangle her knitting before she knits fast enough that I get behind.
Okay, it doesn't quite look like that, but anyway, you get the picture. There's some things that maybe in your finances you're thinking, you know what, I've got too many accounts. Mm-hmm. I've got too much happening in this bank account, in this bank account. We can give you an example. Sometime there is one gentleman that we have run across, you know, over the years, one client who had a lot of savings accounts, a lot of investment accounts, and it just got confusing as he spread money from place to place. And in the end, it's just helpful if you can say, what will help you? Because for this gentleman, maybe that did work for him, but for David and I, that would have confused us. So what works for you in bringing clarity in your finances practically into those accounts that you're managing at your bank?
And sometimes, when we talk about simplicity, you mentioned, we have to be strategic with our yeses and our nos. And, when we're making money decisions, sometimes it just gets complicated and you're like, okay, this may be an indicator where I'm going to just say no to this. And Rebecca and I have had this observation over the years when it comes to holidays. We sit down and we're doing some planning and where are we going to go on holidays? And most of our holiday decisions have been based around how difficult the challenge get. You go to book the hotel, you can't find the hotel that you want, or you go to, or oh my goodness, there's stuff that are barriers in the way. And Reb and I look at each other and we often are saying, is this getting too complicated? Mm-hmm. And for us, then, okay, maybe this is a no in this season. Maybe the reason that it is, and there's a mechanism there. I'm not saying that every time that things get difficult or complicated, you have to say no, but often that's an indicator of, okay, let's step back and see, is there a way we can simplify this? Is there a way we can make this actually a smoother decision as we're going in?
And we talk about the word peace, like wellness, wholeness, calm, like all of that peace. The moment we are in a decision-making process and we come out of that space where we're receiving peace, we're not peaceful anymore, it's just stressful, it doesn't feel good, that's an indicator for you and I to step back and have a different conversation. Because I remember distinctly over one holiday we were trying to book, and it literally, we didn't have a lot of cash. It had to be a certain way. We were going to a certain destination, and it just got like a struggle. And then Dave and I were getting upset with each other and we were like, what is happening here? Like, this is not how we operate. And we were like, you know what? Let's just leave it. And then I don't know, a weeks later, I woke up. I remember it was like a Friday morning and I looked at Dave. I said, let's go back to that place and see if we can book it today. Maybe there's some availability that wasn't there before. And literally, we had it booked by 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, it was that, it was just that, oh man. And I had to trust that instinct, or perhaps God was directing us in that moment, was good. And it brought peace and it was immediate. Now, life doesn't happen that way, as you've already said, but we had to strategically say, you know what? It's not worth it. When we were also put our house up for sale 19 years ago or whatever that was, and someone suggested, oh, you guys should bridge finance. And this was before we were ever here in financial coaching. This was before, while we were still in our other life, we call it. Or Dave laughs at me that I call it our other life. When you were a tech and running your dad's business, I remember, and you and I looked at each other and thought, okay, we could, yeah, we have this other house we want to buy. And finally, we just said, you know what? We're not doing it. We are so stressed over the thought of the financing over this bridge, and someone was going to lend us the money, but then we would have owed someone else money. And it was just...
And that goes to the kind of the second word we're talking about, where clarity, like in that story, all of a sudden the entire house transaction got really complicated.
Oh, it did.
It was like, okay, so you're going to have to, you know, first of all, you're going to carry two mortgages and two homes at the same time for an undetermined amount of time, because our house was not selling in the time that we thought it would. And then, you know, we're carrying this other one, but then we have to move over there. And are there some renos that we need to do? So like it got really complicated when we considered the decision that, we, you know, and this is, I think, really important that when we're talking about money decisions, these are some of the, I'm going to say the yellow flags. When it gets complicated, slow things down, mm-hmm. like slow them right down in the decision making
process. And be strategic with your yes and your no. I mean, yes, you know what? We're going to slow down the process. So then when we looked, because they'll
and then the goal is clarity. And, and when, as we did that, and using this example, we realized, well, wait a minute. Like now that we see the picture and we know the picture, this is not the decision for us. We would much rather say that our, you know, the house that we are planning to buy, we're just going to let it go. Because the reality is when we look, when we got clear, when we slowed down and got the clarity we needed to make the decision, we realized that decision isn't going to be for us.
And you all may be different people. You do things differently. We're not saying you have to do it like we do. But for us, that's what brought clarity. So to finish the story, we were living and had four kids in a...
700 square
feet. Oh, and it was a home that the Lord brought us to when we had one child. Like that, it was God's direction to get us there. And then we had the opportunity to buy our dream home, actually, which it was a log home. Short ways from Dave's work at the time. And anyway, a long bit of a story. And we just looked at each other when our house wasn't selling. Mm-hmm. And we said, it's just a house. Mm-hmm. Our home is with our kids and our family. And we'll find a way. If that isn't the house, we'll find another one. And we let it go. Well, unbeknownst to us, we talked to the owner, and it was a private sale for that log home. And you're like, oh, well, you can have a couple more months. You could have a couple more months to sell your house. We'll try it. Don't worry about it. No pressure. And we were like, I was in shock for like a weekend. We were like, we had given it up. We had given up our heart's desire, and we were ready. We were already thinking, well, can we put an addition on this house and all of that? And in the end, you know, God was very kind and worked it out.
What's crazy about that story was a week went by. I mean, I remember it was June 30th that we kind of said, hey, our deadline is July 1st to whether we were going to buy this house or not. And in a sense, we needed to sell our place before July 1st. And we were like, it's not happening. So here's next step. And we talked to the seller. And then, you know, July 6th, we got an offer in the house, and we were out of the house by August 5th, we moved
on the 5th, and that July 6th was our wedding anniversary. Anyway, that's a crazy story, which we weren't planning to talk about, but today we did, because that was a very practical example. So then we go back to consistency and remembering in all of this, simplicity, let your yeses and nos be strategic. So consistency is something as simple as automate some of your payments. Get that. That's an easy way to be consistent. You know, have financial dates regularly. We talk about this. You guys have heard us talk about this. What does a financial date look like? Well, you have it regularly with your spouse or with yourself if you're single, and you talk to yourself, do you talk to your spouse, do you talk to God about money? How are we doing this week? What are those three questions? We were talking about it earlier. Where are we at today?
These are the financial date questions that we want to ask every single week.
Yes, and I always forget one. So you can, yes.
What are we going to spend between now and our next injection of income?
So right.
And now and our next pay. And then is there anything else that we need to prepare for that's outside of that window? So, you know, again, creating that consistency of asking the same question mm-hmm. every week. What do we need to spend money on between now and our next pay period? Do we have enough money in our bank account to make it to the next injection of cash? And then finally, it's what else is on the coming down the pipe, so to speak? Do I need to be saving for tires? Do I need to be saving for
dental
education? Do I need what else can I automate? What else can I set up so that we know what's going on? And those three questions just create that simplicity, clarity, and then doing that consistently over and over and over. And to be honest, this is one of the money principles that is, we all know it's not new information. You know, hey, if I could save $100 a week from the age of 20 to the age of 40, mm-hmm. consistently every single week, well, what's that going to produce? It's going to produce a big nest egg at the end of those 20 years, right? And yeah. So going, hey, and I haven't done the math on that. I just came up with that.
But again, it's doing those things. We talked about in COVID a lot, do the next right thing. You're just mm-hmm. doing the next thing. You're committing. You're making small goals to accomplish those things. You're setting aside that $5, $10, or $15, or you're figuring out how to capture money that you didn't know you could capture. Like, there's so many pieces, but if you go back to those consistency questions that we've already talked mm-hmm. about, like it's, we're making it sound really simple. We know that there are challenges when it comes to managing money because money is currency.
But
and it flows like a current.
As we wrap up, again, putting these words in front of you, put them on the fridge. Like, the goal is to move towards simplicity and clarity. And I would say, again, the mechanism there is just to do it over and over and over again. It won't mm-hmm. be a straight line. It won't be all forward steps. There will be backward mm-hmm. steps. But if you can, again, when you think about your finances, use those as ways or indicators to say, do I understand? Is this really clear? Am I clear on the goals? Am I clear on how we're going to get there? If not, go back to a conversation, right? Can we make this simpler?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are some questions you can ask.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, thank you so much. We do pray for the shalom of the places where we're living. We thank you that you are with us in these places, that you are bringing us into simplicity with clarity, and you're helping us every day be consistent in our time, in our relationships, in our finances. Lord, we just are so grateful for practical help and wisdom that you give us. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Well, welcome to the new year 2025. We're so glad you joined us for this episode, and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.